Here on the First Coast, the need is greater than ever for supporting local survivors of sexual assault. Good Monday morning and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live here at 9. Also, never miss a show. Download the WJCT app to listen anytime. You can stream it right now live on our Facebook page, too. Just ahead, find out what's being done to help survivors as we look ahead to Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, Culpepper back from the big game in New York as the Gators fall a little short in the Final Four. Plus, it's today's First Coast Success as we take a look inside the success of Moxie Kitchen. All of that ahead. But first this hour, they are a lifeline, this area's only certified rape crisis center for Duval, Baker, and Nassau counties. The Women's Center of Jacksonville provides local survivors with everything from forensic exams to counseling, all types of support. And they're expanding because the need is so critical. One in three women in this country has survived sexual violence. Statistics show one in six men have been sexually abused, too. Now, each year, April is nationally known as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We've got a preview of what's happening right here on the First Coast as we welcome Teresa Miles, Executive Director of the Women's Center of Jacksonville. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
And Board President Lisa Everly, also with us here in studio. Good to see you.
Thanks for having us, Melissa.
In a moment, we'll tell you about the Women's Center's big event, Women, Words, and Wisdom. That's coming up in April, too. But right now, what are your thoughts about this shocking statistic that one in three women in this country have survived sexual violence? One in six men have also been sexually abused. As services expand here on the First Coast to mark Sexual Assault Awareness Month, we want your calls, questions, and comments. It's 549-2937 to join the show. That's 549-2937. Send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax, or weigh in on our Facebook page where the show is streaming live right now. Teresa Miles, Executive Director of the Women's Center of Jacksonville, you're actually facing a critical shortage of space to assist sexual assault victims because the need is so great, correct?
It is, Melissa. What we need really is the ability to provide privacy and autonomy in the event that we have a couple of people in who have been sexually assaulted, to give them the space that they feel that they can be in and not, you know, run into anyone else during that time. And it's essential right now in our community.
And we'll talk about the effort to provide that. Lisa Everly, let's talk, though, about the problem here on the First Coast and in Florida. One in six women in Florida has reported being raped, and it's actually estimated that's underreported.
Well, that's correct, Melissa. And so often what happens is, and it can happen as early as childhood, and a woman doesn't find her voice until significantly after the event. And we saw a lot of that after the political discussion that occurred last year, and women started coming forward once they heard other women claiming that they had, you know, had this experience.
You're talking during the presidential campaign.
Correct. And that whole discussion about sexual assault really helped to bring women, even in Jacksonville, out of silence. And because of that, we saw a dramatic increase in the number of calls we were receiving to our hotline. We receive over 50 calls each day to our sexual assault hotline.
And you're talking about women that have suffered a recent event and women maybe that are suffering trauma from something that happened long ago?
That's correct. Yes, it could be from childhood, from teenage years, or something recent.
And so then, Teresa Miles, how does the Women's Center assist this population of women? And by the way, there are men that are dealing with this too, but you
Absolutely.
Primarily assist women.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We are 24 hours, 7 days a week. So when someone really needs to reach out, we have a hotline that they can call. We also have the ability to dispatch an advocate and a certified nurse at any time to perform a forensic exam for a sexual assault survivor.
Okay. And there have been scandals, not just in Jacksonville, but all over the country about rape kits that sit untested on shelves for years. How does that complicate your efforts?
Well, right here in Jacksonville, it's been an amazing partnership between the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and the State Attorney's Office, the Women's Center, and other FDLE. I think we are going to be the first in the state of Florida have actually gotten that backlog taken care of completely by the end of this month.
Here in Duval County.
Here in Duval County.
That's a big breakthrough.
It has been huge.
And how have you gotten to that point?
We've been meeting on a regular basis, just that level of accountability where we all get together because everybody wants the same end result, which is that justice is provided for survivors of sexual violence. And mm-hmm. so everybody has really done their part to push that forward. We have a survivor who sits on the panel. We have representatives from law enforcement, state attorney, and mm-hmm. the private sector. It's been tremendous.
April marks Sexual Assault Awareness Month. 1 in 3 women in this country will face sexual violence, 1 in 6 men. What are your thoughts and comments and maybe your stories? Give us a call at 549-2937. So this is a life-changing event for survivors. In addition to possibly physical injuries, Lisa, the psychological damage lasts a lifetime. How does the Women's Center help people with that?
Well, that's a great question, Melissa. Thank you. Not only do we have a rape advocate who is there with the survivor from the time that she comes for the forensic exam through any judicial process, but any woman who has been a survivor of sexual assault during her lifetime is able to receive a year of free counseling from the Women's Center. We have grants to support that. And so that's a great support system. Our counselors are all gender responsive and trauma informed.
What do you mean gender responsive? Can you explain what that means?
Yes. In the counseling profession, for a long time, counseling was not gender responsive. Men and women were counseled the same. We understand that women's lived experiences are entirely different and their way of relating to people is entirely different and their way of processing trauma is entirely different. Mm-hmm. And so now there are specific studies to and educational programs to help psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors understand the difference in counseling men and women.
What would be an example of that or a story you could share?
Well, Teresa's the counselor, yeah. So let me
How do you approach that?
Well, I think what it is we really allow the survivor to take the lead on the type of services that they need. And when you look at trauma-informed care, it is recognizing that from the moment they walk in our door, that they are a survivor, and we're going to hopefully help them change the path from victimization to being truly survivors. We also have counselors who have really specialized in specific areas. We have an LGBT-specific advocate, and then we have counselors who've also received additional training in working with that population that is also at great risk of sexual assault in our community.
And that is a particularly difficult problem. It's a small population, a vulnerable population. Mm-hmm. They have needs that are even more specific,
right,
correct?
Right. That's where the specialized training comes in for our counselors, which is a big part of helping people heal.
Now, in a moment, we'll talk about your big event, the Women, Words, and Wisdom event. That's coming up April 4th. Your speaker will be Nicole Thomas, president of Baptist Medical Center South. Right now, as we speak with the Women's Center of Jacksonville about sexual assault in this country, what are your thoughts? What are your stories? It's 549-2937. Lauren on the east side. Hey, Lauren, good morning.
Hey, this is Florence.
Okay, they told me it was Lauren. Sorry.
No problem. I use the Women's Center after being assaulted, and they rock. So this is really a shout out to say thank you so, so very much for helping me get my life back together. And it was done with kindness and tenderness. And then after a little while, someone just needed to whoop me upside the head for a minute, too, and that was available. So I just really want to say thank you for the work you do and keep it up. And it's really hard stuff, and how you guys cope with it there at the Women's Center is impeccable. So have an awesome day today, and know that the work that you do, it really, really matters. Peace out.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Lauren, so can you tell us? Oh, she hung up. Okay, but certainly a nice vote of confidence for you.
Absolutely.
And you help hundreds of local women each year. You want to help more, thousands. But you have space for a few hundred. How much more space do you need? And let's talk about that whole effort.
Yeah, well, absolutely. We are currently the location that we're at in a city-owned building. It's been wonderful that the city has partnered with us, but we recognize also the space that we've unfortunately outgrown the space and want to provide more space for our survivors. So that's an initiative that we'll be bringing forward in the next 6 months, a real community effort to recognize it, because sexual assault really is a community issue. I think all of us can sit here and, you know, talk about federal government and what they should be doing financially, which we absolutely support. But we realize also it takes a community to help our victims become survivors. It takes a community to prevent sexual assault. And here in Jacksonville, we have a pretty strong community.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the prevention side. What's being done? Because mostly you're dealing with people who, after the event has happened. What about prevention?
Absolutely.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
Yes, Lisa. I'm really excited. One of the things that we're doing is, a couple of years ago, Melissa, you might remember that we brought in Amy Ziering to feature the Hunting Ground in our speaker series and the issue of serial rape on campus. And at Jacksonville University, President Cost has allowed us to have two of our trainers on campus for something called the Green Dot Program, which is an informed bystander program to help students understand how they can help others in avoiding sexual assault. And so it teaches the students not only how to be safe themselves, but when they see something happening, how to intervene on behalf of the victim.
And that documentary film, The Hunting Ground, really told a harrowing tale of this issue of sexual assault on campus.
Right.
We have that issue here, as every community does. That's something that I would think you're really focused on, this younger population of students and young women on campus.
Well, absolutely. And I think that the universities do a good job of increasing awareness now. I think that's become a focus of all of our universities here in Jacksonville. UNF, I believe, has a different program that's similar to the bystander program that we're offering. But we're really thrilled to be on Jacksonville University's campus to provide this.
We want your calls as we talk about the Women's Center of Jacksonville, the only certified rape crisis center in the city. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. What are your questions? One in three women report surviving some form of sexual violence, and it's 549-2937. Teresa Miles, whenever we report that statistic on the air, inevitably somebody says, that can't be right. That's just exaggerated. What do you say to that? And the one in three women that have had this experience, how many of them have been assaulted by someone that they know, as opposed to a stranger attack?
I would say, if anything, that number is underreported. It is such an intimate crime. It's very difficult for people to make that report. And I think the important thing is that people recognize that it is a crime. And it's very difficult for folks to come forward and say, this has happened to me. And a lot of times, as Lisa indicated, we don't get the call for many years, and it's an adult survivor of a childhood sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that is when they recognize that other people are talking and that it is a safe environment for them to come forward. A lot of times it is incest, it is family secrets and family violence.
And so at that point, you help the person go through the counseling process.
Absolutely.
And that can take years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
There are a lot of layers to peel back, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a difficult process.
They've lived with that trauma for so many lives, or so many years in their lives, that it's become a course of normality for them. It's
Lisa.
The issue that we deal with is when a woman's been a victim of this all of her life, from childhood, we see that she becomes re-victimized by patterns of behavior. And I call it trapped in the triangle of substance abuse, mental health, and violence. And a woman can find herself in that triangle, trapped in that triangle. And so those are the layers that we help her to uncover, is how to avoid being re-victimized, how to deal with the trauma and the micro-traumas that occur every day, the triggers that she encounters every day as a result of that. And then if there's a substance abuse problem, if she's been self-medicating to help her deal with these issues since childhood, we can help in that regard as well.
Now, you said during the presidential campaign, when a bevy of women came forward to say they'd been sexually assaulted in some way by Donald Trump, that increased the number of calls to your center.
Yes. And anytime a woman comes forward publicly in courage and talks about her sexual assault, it does have that effect of emboldening other women to find their voice. I'm an example of that. I was raped at 16, and it wasn't until I was in my 50s hearing a woman who looked very much like me talking about her lived experience that I found my voice.
Tell me what that was like for you.
Well, very powerful. I was actually volunteering at an agency very much like the Women's Center in a different city. And to see someone who was a professional up on stage talking about what had happened to her at a very young age made me realize that I could too speak about it without shame, because I think that's a big issue for women. At least back in my day, and I don't think it's changed that much, a woman was blamed, in effect, if there was any alcohol involved, if she was wearing a certain type of clothing, if she was out alone after dark. That's one of the few crimes where those people investigating it may ask questions that imply that somehow the woman was
involved. It's the only crime, really. No, I mean, nobody says, well, what were you wearing when he stole your wallet?
Exactly.
You
right.
know what I mean? It's 549-2937 as we talk about the Women's Center and Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is the month of April. Now, there's a whole host of things happening in Duval, Baker, and Nassau counties kicking off this week, Teresa, to raise awareness. Can you tell us what's happening?
Actually, this evening at 6 o'clock in Nassau County, we'll be at the County Commission's office, and we will be having a proclamation that will be recognizing April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Our community members are going to come together to honor survivors and show their commitment toward ending sexual violence in that community.
Okay, so that's coming up tonight.
Tonight.
Duval County issuing a proclamation this week at City Hall, and there'll be a press conference tomorrow. What's happening tomorrow?
Okay, so community partners, survivors, allies, we are all coming together to raise our voices against sexual violence, and that is going to be down at the Jacksonville City Hall Rotunda. So the public is welcome. It would be great to have an amazing show of folks down there. We'll have the mayor there. The sheriff will be there. It's going to be a great show.
What are your questions for the Women's Center of Jacksonville? It's 549-2937. And here's a tweet from Adam. Is there any data that shows reporting of assault is improving? What's the estimated unreported rate of sexual assault?
Well, I've heard at least half of sexual assaults are unreported. That's just one of those anecdotal statements that have come out on a national level. As far as locally, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but we can certainly get them to you, Melissa.
Okay. And so people need to go to this website to learn more about the Women's Center of Jacksonville's efforts to expand yoursafehere.org, yoursafehere.org. Meanwhile, on April 4th, you're having your big Women, Words, and Wisdom speaker event. These are always really exciting and very well attended. What's going to be happening next? This is coming up April 4th at the Schultz Center.
Right. And of course, last year, Melissa, you were our keynote speaker.
I was honored to do so.
And we had a full house. So we're hoping that Nicole Thomas will also have the same. And she is the chief executive officer of Baptist South, the first woman to achieve that level within the Baptist health system, and an African-American woman. And she's going to talk about her lived experience with raising up through the ranks and then how it informs her leadership position when she is dealing with things like wage equity. And then, of course, we have our unsung heroes and sheroes, which is recognizing individuals who have worked tirelessly on behalf of women but have never been recognized. And that's really a huge event. We love recognizing those folks who've never been recognized before.
It's going to be great. And get your tickets now. Meanwhile, we always want to thank you both for all you do for this community. Teresa Miles is the executive director of the Women's Center of Jacksonville. Lisa Everly, their board president. Ladies, thank you so much for telling us all about this. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Melissa.
And much more still ahead later. The Gators fall short in the Final Four. Our Cole Pepper was at the game, and he has details. But up next, First Coast Success profiles one local restaurateur with Moxie. Back in a moment.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
North Florida TPO, proud sponsor of WJCT's First Coast Connect, bringing to the community innovation in transportation planning, commuter services, clean fuels, and intelligent transportation systems. More at northfloridatpo.com.
Farmers who've been growing raisins for generations are telling their kids it's time to grow something else.
He can make it in almonds, that's fine. The raisin industry is depressed.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Sad raisins. The rest of the day's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It is next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Take a drive with us into the Blues Horizon, the best in classic and modern blues, as part of WJCT's After Hours, tonight at 11 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world, your music.
Historical archaeologist Kathy Deegan discovered the location of the original settlement of St. Augustine from 1565 and the site of Fort Mosse, the first legally sanctioned free black community. I'm Ben Brotmarkle, and coming up on Florida Frontiers, the weekly radio magazine of the Florida Historical Society, we'll talk with Kathy Deegan. We'll also discuss Seminole Indian clothing from the 1920s. That and more on Florida Frontiers, Monday evening at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, she is a star restaurateur and this area's Small Business Leader of the Year. Karen Bruni Mathis of the Financial News and Daily Record speaks with Sarah Marie Johnston, co-owner of Moxie Kitchen, in today's First Coast Success.
Sarah Marie Johnston is the 2017 Jack's Chamber Small Business Leader of the Year. As owner and marketing director of Moxie Kitchen and Cocktails, she tells the story about how she and her husband, Chef Tom Gray, created the only independent restaurant built from the ground up at St. John's Town Center. Sarah Marie Johnston, welcome to First Coast Success.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here this morning.
How did you and Tom create the idea of Moxie Kitchen and Cocktails, and how did you come up with that name?
Well, Tom had always had an idea and a big dream of building a restaurant with an American theme, kind of tying in our various experiences growing up. I grew up in Southern California. He grew up in Jacksonville area, as well as all of our professional experiences and collectively telling those in one big, meaningful way. And Moxie is that vision come to life. It's named after two things. One is the meaning of the word moxie, which would be gusto and boldness. And we felt that we really needed to say that restaurant in a big way at the town center. And second is moxie is the name of a drink that Tom enjoyed as a child going up to Maine, where he would visit family every year. And he literally couldn't wait to get up there to get moxie because, of course, that was before the internet and ordering things online and having them delivered next day to your doorstep. So it was a big deal for him to get his moxie every year.
What are the challenges of operating an independent restaurant in an area full of national chains and more are coming across the street at St. John's Town Center?
I really feel that the challenges that we have as a local independent are probably very similar to other industries as well. But specifically, we have smaller budget for things like advertising. We don't have brand name recognition. We have to build that ourselves. We don't have a big wide net kind of supporting us if we miss something or things don't quite go well for a quarter or two. You know, we don't have that same level of infrastructure kind of holding us up. So we have to create that ourselves. And I would say that the challenge that I've experienced is that it's taken us probably a little bit more time to get the word out about what Moxie is and that we are local and independent. And that's one of the reasons that the Small Business Leader of the Year Award is so important. It's helping us do that in a meaningful way.
You and Tom also are working on the Town Hall, I believe it is, in the San Marco area. What's that?
Yes, that is our new exciting small restaurant concept. And I always feel like, you know, creative people need to create. So Tom's wheels are always turning. My wheels are always turning. I can kind of see it on his face. I go, uh-oh, what are you dreaming up now? But it's exciting to be able to do this. We are going into the historic San Marcos Square where the Grotto used to be. We have a very small, intimate restaurant concept coming online in the next few weeks. It's going to be kind of a West Coast vibe, very light, bright, filled with energy and kind of freshness. And we'll have a concept that's a little bit more of that West Coast flavor with our same sustainability focus of sourcing and working with local growers and artisan producers.
What brought you two to Jacksonville?
Well, Tom grew up in Orange Park, and he, after culinary school in New York, lived and worked across the country in New York, San Francisco, or Napa Valley where we met, San Diego, Los Angeles, back to Florida. So he did his kind of young chef thing, bouncing around for about 10 years. And then we both met in the Napa Valley where we were together for 5 years before having an opportunity to come back to Jacksonville for him. For me, it was the first time ever living on the East Coast, but that was in 1999. And we were founders and operators of Bistro X for 13 years, where he was the executive chef and I handled marketing. And in late 2012, we sold our interest in that business so we could do Moxie. So we've been here for a long time now.
That's a big step to build your own business like that.
Yes, it was. It was a long, exciting process that required a lot of people literally believing in the dream that we had. We have support from the SBA. We have support from conventional bankers. We have an investor group and all the staff that literally had to also take on our vision and adopt it as their own so that they could join our team and be, you know, help us launch this thing that is now Moxie as we know it. It was a challenge, but, you know, we got all the yeses that we needed to make it come together. So ultimately, that's what counts.
How many employees do you have?
Well, we have at Moxie around 75. With Town Hall coming online, there's about 20 there. And then we also have our own restaurant marketing consulting company called Colavino. So we have a group there as well. So all in, we're about 100 staff. It's a growing group, and we feel excited to be able to provide those opportunities for people to grow and learn. And again, without their support, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. So it's a mutually supportive opportunity for everybody.
Sarah Marie Johnston, an owner of Moxie Kitchen and Cocktails and the Jack's Chamber 2017 Small Business Leader of the Year. Thanks for joining First Coast Success.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Much more still to come. Back in a moment.
I'm Joshua Johnson. Next time on 1A, The Enemy Within, the man behind the recent terror attack in London was yet another homegrown terrorist. A new report says the U.S. is dangerously ill-equipped to defend against these kinds of attacks and notes the travel ban does not address a threat that could be hiding in plain sight. How do we defuse homegrown terrorism? Next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Fresh Air, the rise of for-profit colleges. They're supposed to offer a better way of life, but more often, they exploit the poor, women, and minorities who need them most. We talk with sociologist Tressie McMillan Cottom, author of Lower Ed. She once worked for two for-profit colleges, but became disillusioned. Join us.
Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Whether the day's news is happening in your backyard or across the globe, you depend on NPR News to bring you the latest.
At Kuala Lumpur International Airport, something caused his sudden death.
The two front runners in the French presidential race were both pro-Russian.
Japan's prime minister called the missile launch absolutely intolerable.
For news of the new administration's first 100 days and much more, listen every day.
Morning Edition and All Things Considered every day on 89.9 WJCT.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning. Live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross.
Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
On the next Jazz Night in America, it's the 100th birthday of Billie Holiday. Cassandra Wilson brings her new project to the Kennedy Center, and pianist Barbara Carroll talks about the opportunity she had to perform with Lady Day.
And when she sang, the expression was outstanding, very often heartbreaking.
That's on the next Jazz Night in America.
Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 11 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. They were founded in 1917 here in Jacksonville with the goal of assisting anyone in need of food and shelter. Jewish Family Community Services this month is marking its 100th anniversary on the First Coast. And did you know 80% of their clients are not even Jewish? Colleen Rodriguez is CEO of Jewish Family and Community Services. She's here now with more about 100 Years of Hope. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And first of all, I don't know that many organizations that are 100 years old in this city. So right off the bat, that's pretty exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
100 Years of Hope.
That's right.
So what's that all about?
Jewish Family and Community Services was originally established in 1917 to help the majority of Russian immigrants that were moving to Northeast Florida. And again, true to our mission even to this day, it was with food and shelter and assistance in stabilizing their families. And it's nice to be able to say 100 years later, we're still meeting that same mission. But over time, as we evolved, we now help the entire community in various ways.
Sure. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, that really caught my attention. Russian immigrants, were they coming here to Florida in the wake of the Russian Revolution, avoiding anti-Semitism in Russia? Is that what brought these waves of people here?
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
There were a lot of Jewish families in Jacksonville that were willing to take people in and to assist in that transition. As usual, Jacksonville is a very welcoming community. And so they were able to help these families.
And what's so interesting today is, even though this organization is guided by Jewish values, you serve everyone. 80% of your clientele are not Jewish.
Correct.
So you want to get the word out about that. You don't have to be Jewish to get help from the Jewish Center, Jewish Family and Community Services, rather.
Correct.
Yeah.
Our board was very forward-thinking, and even though we were established in our faith, and that still is where our values lie, The board and the community, there's a phrase called tikkun olam, repair the world, repair the community. And it's all about that we have a responsibility to take care of those around us, Jewish and not Jewish. And so now, yes, 80% of our clients are not Jewish. They come to us through various ways of counseling in the child welfare system and adoption. And so we will serve anyone that comes to us in need.
And you do, like you said, you do everything from adoption to mental health counseling, even emergency financial assistance. What are some of the criteria for a family to come to you that needs help?
The majority of the clients who come to us are in Duval, come from Duval County. We receive state and federal and local donor dollars to be able to provide rent and utility assistance and mortgage assistance. Our whole program is about preventing homelessness. Mm-hmm. We really want to keep people in their homes.
Yeah.
80% of the clients that come to us for financial assistance have children, and we know that if children move from home to home and school to school, they fall behind, which causes other struggles.
And there's a story I think you want to share about Fatima and Danielle. Can you tell us about them?
We have two remarkable women who we met through our foster care system. They did come into our agency through abuse of their children or neglect of their children, but they are remarkable. And they absolutely have used multiple services, which is another unique thing about Jewish Family. We're really able to wrap services around families with food and utilities and counseling all in one place. And they absolutely utilized all of our resources for them. And they wanted to make change and they wanted to be good parents. And happily now they're being reunified with their children. And we have no doubt we'll be successful moving forward.
You even help with dropout prevention.
We do.
Kids that might be at risk of dropping out of school. How do you do that?
We have a wonderful partnership with the United Way. And we are based out of 10 middle schools working with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders who have been identified as potentially at risk of not making it through the school system. And now we have a 95% success rate. We're working with the families and the children. So we're kind of that liaison between home and school.
So to celebrate 100 years of hope, you've got a big kickoff event this Saturday.
Yes.
What's happening?
So April 1st at Everbank Field at 7 o'clock, We're having our big 100th celebration. We'll show a brief documentary. I hate to use the word documentary, but a brief video on the history of our agency and talk about the future.
And people need to come out for this. This is coming up Saturday night as Jewish Family Community Services marks 100 years on the First Coast. I think one of the only nonprofits to make that mark in this area.
I think we're one of six, maybe.
Yeah, there's not. It's a short list. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And mark your calendar for that. It's the 100th of Jewish Family and Community Services, founded in 1917. Colleen Rodriguez is the CEO. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
David Luckin's going to join the show in a little bit with some new music. And after this, Cole Pepper as the Gators' hopes in the Final Four flame out.
Sit back, relax, and travel back in time with 89.9 on Sunday nights beginning at 7 with Radio Theater.
The Adventures of Philip Marlowe.
Doo-wop Revival.
Good evening, I'm Glenn Fisher, the king of the doo-woppers.
Relax Radio. Throwback Sunday, Sunday nights beginning at 7 on 89.9 WJCT. Online at WJCT.org. Looking forward to looking back.
For everyone discovering life after 50, WJCT proudly presents Next Avenue, the website where grown-ups keep growing. Visit us at wjct.org/nextavenue. It's today's modern guide for adulthood, part 2, sponsored in part by AARP, Real Possibilities.
Sample the incredible musical performances from First Coast Connect with Studio 5 Sessions. Featuring this area's hottest local bands, theatrical performers, and big-name national acts coming through town. Whether on your phone or at home, be sure to check out Studio 5 Sessions on the web at wjct.org.
I'm Catherine Burns, one of the hosts of the Moth Radio Hour, and I hope you'll join us here on 89.9 WJCT. With true personal stories told live without notes to standing room crowds around the world, Moth stories aren't part of the disposable daily information flow. They stick with you, and you'll even find yourself retelling them. Listen Saturdays at 3 p.m. here on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour...
I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, if you drink Dr. Pepper, you're a pepper too, be a pepper, drink Dr. Pepper.
Well, the Gators fell one game shy of making the Final Four. Cole Pepper was in New York covering the games. Hey, Cole, good morning.
Hello from Madison Square Garden, where the Gators saw their run end yesterday. They had a shot, but things just did not go their way down the stretch. They lose to South Carolina 77-70. All year, the Gators had shown their resilience. It was certainly tested again against South Carolina. Florida's 8-point first-half lead was erased, but the Gators persisted. After a Chris Chioza steal and layup with 3:48 left, the Gators led 63-61. But the rest of the way, they were outscored by South Carolina 16-7. It's easy to say in any close game, but the difference in this one was how the Gamecocks finished, and Florida this time did not. Big stat that stands out, Florida missed all 14 of their three-pointers in the second half. This after missing all 17 three-pointers they attempted in the entire game when they played at South Carolina earlier this year. South Carolina now onto their first Final Four. The Gators must look forward to next season. Certainly things are looking like they're heading in the right direction for the Gators. Six players who played last night still have eligibility. Plus, John Egbunu should be back from injury as well. They have a very good recruiting class coming in, too. So things look good for Mike White and company as they get set to come in to what should be a very good next season in Gator basketball. As it stands, so the Final Four is set. It'll be South Carolina against Gonzaga. And in the other semifinal, it will be North Carolina taking on Oregon.
Wow, what a season for the Gators. So close. Now, back here in Jacksonville, we have football, soccer, and baseball this week. Let's start with the Sharks over the past weekend.
Well, the Sharks' home opener was a success, a 55-26 victory over the Georgia Firebirds. The Sharks are off to a 2-0 start in the new National Arena League. Next, they'll host Lehigh Valley. Yes, the Steelhawks are coming to town. Melissa's been looking forward to this for quite some time. Saturday night at the arena as the Sharks try to go 3-0 against an undefeated team. The Armada, the following day, will open their third season of soccer. That's a 4 o'clock kickoff on Sunday at home, but it's a new home. We told you last month that the Armada will be playing their home matches at UNF's Hodges Stadium. They'll host FC Edmonton in the opener. Head coach Mark Frisch finished the season well last year when he took over late in the season, and the team is coming off a preseason in which they didn't lose a single match. All wins or draws in the preseason. The Jumbo Shrimp don't open at home until 2 weeks from Wednesday, but there is baseball on tap at the baseball grounds tomorrow. It's becoming, I think, a little bit of an annual tradition now that Florida and Florida State play in baseball in Jacksonville for one game. Should be a good atmosphere as always. Those two teams getting together at 6 p.m. There are still tickets available, but they have sold over 6,000 in advance, and they expect a big walk-up as well, so the game is probably going to be a sellout. Both teams are ranked again this year, although have fallen off a little bit of late. FSU was number one, then they struggled and fell to number 13. Florida is 11th in the country, a week after being ranked in the top five. Both will be looking to get the momentum going again, and I'll look forward to that. I'll be there as the public address announcer for the game, so if you're there, you'll hear me booming across the outfield loudspeakers for that one. Always a good time. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you, Cole. Well, finally this hour. Music director David Luckin joins us now with a preview of this week's Electro Lounge.
No, actually, Route 66 tonight.
Oh, it's Route 66.
Because, you know why, Melissa? Because it was 50 years ago today almost that the Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. So I thought we'd see how good the four lads were as students. So we're going to play the whole album. We're going to listen to see if Sergeant Pepper gave them a good lesson if they produced a great album in 1967.
Sergeant Pepper's is 50.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. They recorded it in, I think, November of 66, and it was released in 67. You're hearing music now for Magical Mystery Tour because we're going to fill out the rest of the hour with Magical Mystery Tour. But Sergeant Pepper, in its entirety, in mono, so you're going to hear it the way it was meant to be heard, with no interruptions, no talking, no commercials, no big car salesman popping in, the whole album.
What? Now, let's talk about the significance of this album when it came out in 1967.
It changed everything because of the orchestra. I mean, they just brought in oboes and flutes and harps, and she's leaving home with that beautiful harp intro. It just, and that's George Martin, the fifth Beatle. Thanks to George Martin for just bringing it together. Now, I will give equal due to the Moody Blues, who came out with Days of Future Past with the London Symphony that same year, which got eclipsed by Sgt. Pepper, but they were both on that progressive rock, actually the beginning of it. That's the first time where someone took an orchestra and mixed it with rock and roll and came up with, even Eleanor Rigby with cellos and violins. The Beatles were so far ahead of the rest of the Four Seasons and all that pop music. They really took it and made it baroque and beautiful.
And orchestral,
and,
yeah.
And orchestral, yeah.
So this is a way to showcase this album on Route 66. Let's talk about Route 66.
Well, lately we've been spotlighting albums. I think next week we're going to do Elvis's first album, which no one even remembers, but it's got Money, Honey, and all these great songs. And we've done Crosby, Stills, and Nash. We've done James Taylor. We've done Pink Floyd. So every now and then I just pull out a great album and say, let's just hear it from beginning to end so people really get the feeling that we had back in the day when we waited for these records and then couldn't wait to put them on the turntable and flip them over and hear side two, which you don't do anymore.
Yeah, we don't do it that way anymore, but on 89.9's After Hours block of music programming.
We do it every night.
We do it every night. Let's talk about After Hours because it's the only spot on the radio dial where you can hear music that you really won't hear anywhere else in this community.
Well, you can hear the oldies tonight. You can hear Doo-Wop Revival on Sunday nights, the Blues Horizon on Monday and Wednesday, our buddy Ryan Bank with Indie Endeavor with the best indie music, all styles. John Maycumber, and I think year 10 of String Theory. And of course, Christian McBride Thursdays with
Jazz Night in America.
Thank you. I never get there right. How many times I try and say it?
He came to the Ritz Theater recently, too.
He's brilliant. He's played with everyone. He's played from Miles to probably Michael Jackson. There's nobody Christian McBride didn't play with.
And, of course, your own Electro Lounge.
And I'm sorry, I forgot the main
show. How long
show.
Has Electro Lounge been on the air
this
now?
This is the 14th year, 9 o'clock to 11, Tuesday through Friday, until 12 on Saturday. And then, of course, every night after hours, Relax Radio at midnight, 7 nights a week where you can just kind of space out to, from Glenn Miller to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. It's a really wide array of over 3,000 songs in rotation.
You've put together such an incredible array of music shows and programs. Relax Radio also is available on our HD3 channel 24 hours a day. If you have an HD radio or an HD adapter in your car or an tuner in your car, you can listen to Relax Radio anytime you want.
And it's
people
really
absolutely
different.
It's not, it's like nothing else.
Right. You might hear Patsy Cline and then Miles Davis is next. So if you love music, this is a station for you.
Yeah. All right. So tonight it's Route 66, Sgt. Pepper, 10 o'clock. The full album. Can you fit that in 1 hour? Well,
I'm so lucky it fits in exactly in our first 39-minute set.
It's 39 minutes?
Yes.
I would have thought it'd be longer.
Yeah. Well, I may have tightened up a second here or there, but it fits because all of our after-hour shows, the first sets are always 39 minutes. So you're always kind of leery to do a Dark Side of the Moon thing because where do you break it? And then you got an 8-track in your car, right? And right in the middle of the song, it changes.
Remember when they did the movie remake of it with Peter Frampton? Do you remember that?
I do. I kind of stay away from remakes because I love the
original.
What
originals. Did you think of that?
I did not see it.
Didn't like, Beatles fans think that was sacrilege or something?
Yeah, I didn't see
it. I kind of remember that.
I didn't see the Doors, Oliver Stone's Doors movie either because I'm just a purist. I want to see documentaries on the Doors or the Beatles I would love, but I don't really want to see someone act out and change the story and... And the anthology is really the thing to watch if you want to know about the Beatles, that ABC special they did 8 hours worth, and that's got everything by them, for them, with them, rather than someone's version, which I think is important to stick to the truth.
Which you do every night.
I try.
And he's our music director, David Luckin, Electro Lounge host, and in charge of all of our after-hours music shows. Tonight on Route 66, it's the full Sgt. Pepper's album. We're going to close with a little bit more from that classic from 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Here's I Am the Walrus from Magical Mystery Tour, which you'll also hear about.
This isn't Sgt. Pepper. Just Beatles.
Right. We'll have a half a dozen songs from Magical Mystery Tour to fill out the hour, but things like Fool on the Hill and Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane and all that stuff we love.
All right. That's our show today. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs the board. The show theme composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chepchik. Never miss a show. Download the WJCT app to listen anytime. Next on 1A, the man behind the recent London attack was yet another homegrown terrorist. A new report says the U.S. is dangerously ill-equipped to defend against that kind of attack. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Have a great day and enjoy the music.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.